come get on the train.
Welcome into the Sports Buffoons Podcast.
If it ain't easy.
Welcome back into the Sports Buffoons Studios here in Kansas City. I'm your boy JG, and we're going to talk a little bit of NBA today. But first, I want to talk about a question that somebody asked me the other day. They asked me if they thought that the Chiefs could go undefeated this year. And obviously, as a Chiefs fan, I thought, well, you know, absolutely that's possible. Because I've told many people this. I think this could be a better team than the 1972 Dolphins or even the 2007 New England Patriots. Now, my personal opinion is that the Patriots were the best team of all time, even though they didn't go undefeated, because they actually went 18-0 before they lost that Super Bowl, whereas the Dolphins only went 17-0. And so to win 19 games was obviously more difficult than what the Dolphins tried to accomplish what they did accomplish in 1972 in going 17-0. And I think the Chiefs absolutely have a chance to repeat, but I don't necessarily want them to go undefeated in the regular season, because the whole point of it is you want to go undefeated in the playoffs, right? It doesn't matter if we're talking about NBA, NFL, whatever sport you want to throw out there. The regular season only matters for your seeding, and so you need to have a good record, but as far as going undefeated in the NFL, that doesn't really matter. So it also helps when you have a little bit of adversity throughout the season. And that could mean maybe the Chiefs go 14-2. Maybe they go 12-4. But my opinion is that you need to have a little bit of adversity throughout the season. And I do not want to see them try to go undefeated throughout the regular season and then drop the ball like the New England Patriots did in 2007. So they got a few games on the schedule. I'm looking at the Ravens on September 28th and the Bills October 15th, the Bucks November 29th, and the Saints December 20th. Those are all four going to be tough games. But I actually think the Chiefs could win at least three of those four, maybe all four of those games. And the one thing we know about human nature is that a lot of times you bring your A game as an athlete when you're playing against the top competition. But sometimes when you're playing against the lesser teams or mediocre teams, take for example maybe the, I don't know, Cincinnati Bengals or Miami Dolphins, you play against lesser teams, a lot of times you don't bring your A game. And subconsciously, in the back of your mind, you're kind of thinking as an athlete, okay, this is kind of a cupcake. I'm going to show up to work today. And, I might just kind of take it easy today. Maybe not. I don't need to give it 100%, right? Because I'm playing against the Cincinnati Bengals. And so a lot of times what happens and what may happen to the Chiefs once or twice this year is that they're going to lay an egg against a team that you might think to be just mediocre. And they might play a lot better when they go up against these really good teams like the Bucks, Saints, Bills, and Ravens. And so the point is, a lot of times as athletes and just as human beings, we need a little bit of adversity in life. This could be true in marriages and jobs. A lot of times we know people that, they have bad first and or second marriages, but then that third marriage ends up being spectacular. Same thing with a job. I mean, you may have a job that maybe you like it or you hate it, and maybe you're kind of good at it, but sometimes you just get tired of that job and maybe you quit. or get fired. And then at that point, a lot of times we fall into a better job that we like much better. And so a lot of times it's good to have adversity in life because it brings out the best in all of us. And so as far as repeating as Super Bowl champions, you know, we got to go back to the Niners of 88 and 89, and I'm only talking about the modern era here, so bear with me. The 92-93 Dallas Cowboys, Denver Broncos 97-98, and of course the New England Patriots of 03 and 04. Those are the last four teams to repeat as Super Bowl champions. And honestly, the Chiefs could potentially be better than those teams. Doesn't mean they're going to repeat, because we can't account for injuries and things like that. We don't know what's going to happen. That's what's great about the NFL. But I think that the Chiefs have an excellent chance of repeating this year. But it has been 16 years since we've seen that happen. So, but like I said, we need a little bit of adversity. I do not want to see them go undefeated in the regular season. I want them to be undefeated in the playoffs, and that's the most important thing. All right, so we're going to move on to the NBA. We got a game tonight. The Lakers are up 3-1 against the Rockets, and that game is at 7 p.m. I'm going to go through my NBA hierarchy, and we're going to talk about the power rankings, if you will. And I'm going to start with the fifth best team that is left. And I'll have to apologize to you Houston Rockets fans out there. We're not going to talk too much about the Rockets. I believe that their season is over. May not be tonight, but it won't be too much longer, and the Lakers are going to put them out of their misery. So I'm going to start at number five in these power rankings. We're going to talk about the Denver Nuggets. Now, obviously, they actually won a game last night, so they're only down 3-2 against the Clippers. So it's not over. It's not over until it's over. But when I go through all of these teams, we all know what they do well, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. But I'm going to start with their liabilities and things that they don't do well and my biggest concerns. So for the Denver Nuggets, their biggest problem and why I have them as the fifth best team left in the playoffs is that they have defense as their biggest liability. They're not a bad defensive team. They're just mediocre. They don't have any legitimate lockdown defenders. And in today's NBA, you need to have at least one or two stud perimeter defenders, because you've got to guard against the three ball. And so, as we all know, defense wins championships. And so I've got the Nuggets at number five. Now, don't get me wrong, Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, they're absolute studs on the offensive side of the ball. But I think for next year, they need to add a wing defender. And, you know, another guy, Paul Millsap, he's played excellent this year, but he's going to be 36 years old next year. And I don't know if he's going to have that much more to give. He's already played for the Atlanta Hawks, which, you know, any of you NBA fans out there, you know that that's where players go to die. And Paul Millsap's already been there. So, you know, shout out to Paul Millsap for actually getting himself out of that situation and onto a playoff contender. But I've got the Nuggets at number five. Number four, fourth best team left in the bubble, if you will, I've got the Boston Celtics. And my biggest issue with them, you know, obviously we know about their really great four players that they have. My biggest issue with Boston is that they essentially have no bench. So we like to talk about NBA teams and their depth, and some teams have more depth than others. Boston literally has no depth. And they're going to be coming up on a series here with Miami. And Miami is really going to test these guys. And, you know, with not much of a bench for Boston, Miami is rolling about nine deep. And Boston has just played seven really hard-fought games against the Raptors. And when you're only playing, you know, basically five or six guys in a 48-minute NBA game, you're going to wear down after a seven-game series. And so I think that's going to catch up to Boston in this series. I really love Miami. But that's really it. That's my biggest issue with Boston is just their depth. Because obviously, you know, we like to talk about when a team is battle-tested. And, you know, you go through all these seven-game series, and obviously they had a hard-fought series with Toronto, and they're battle-tested. I mean, so they're ready to go. But in this case, I mean, I just think they're going to be drained. And Miami, on the other hand, they had a short series. They're going to be well-rested and ready to go. And so when I'm picking that series, I've actually got Miami. I think Miami's going to win that in six. But don't get me wrong about Boston. They've got four stud starters, and all those guys have been shooting very well. We know that Boston is a great defensive team, and I always preach defense wins championships, but you also have to have a little bit of depth. I think they're probably their fifth best player is Robert Williams III, and he's only giving you 12 minutes a game and 4 points per game. So, yeah, I mean, he's a good defender, but they got to find some production somewhere on that bench, and I just don't think it's going to happen. So I've got Boston at number four. Number three in the power rankings, I've got the Miami Heat. Now, my biggest concern with the Heat is that their two all-stars can't hit threes. So we know that Jimmy Butler, he's a good shooter, but he's only shooting about 24% from three-point land in the playoffs. And their other all-star, Bam Adebayo, shoots about 14% from three. So as amazing as those two guys are, they're just not going to get it done as far as shooting threes. Now, Duncan Robinson is a great three-point shooter. He's one of the best shooters in the league. But he's actually a defensive liability, so he hasn't been seeing quite as many minutes in the playoffs as he did in the regular season. The guy I really want to talk about, though, is Tyler Hero, and I believe he's an upcoming star. This guy is a rookie. He's 19 years old. He's actually shot 40% from three in the playoffs, and they're actually giving him 32 minutes per game in the playoffs. And so these guys, the Miami Heat, I mean, I think they're really going to take it to the Celtics, and I don't think they're going to have much of a problem with them. They've also got a couple guys on the bench. One guy I can't believe is still in the NBA. Can you believe that Udonis Haslem is still in the league? He's 40 years old, and he's just there for his leadership. You know, he's not going to play. And then the guy that has the bigger impact on the Miami Heat is Andre Iguodala. He's getting up there in years as well, but he obviously gives that veteran leadership that these younger guys need. So I've got Miami Heat number three. They're going to beat the Celtics. You can take that to the bank. And if I'm wrong, you know, I'm not going to pay you $5. So number two or number one, I'm going to go with 1A and 1B here. We're not going to go number two and number one. I'll give you my prediction, but this is essentially a coin toss. I did have them written down as number two, though, so I'm going to go with the Lakers first. Second best team in my power rankings, the Los Angeles Lakers. And we don't need to talk about LeBron and AD. Those guys are absolute studs, probably the best two-player combo that's left in the playoffs. And so we already know what they can bring to the table. So there's nothing that needs to be said about those two guys. My biggest concern with the Lakers is Kyle Kuzma. He is actually at 10.3 points per game, and he was averaging about 13 points per game during the regular season. So my thought is that if Kuzma can step up, that's going to give them the best chance at beating my number one team in the power rankings, which is the Clippers. But my favorite thing to talk about when it comes to the Lakers, because they've got a lot of great players. I mean, they've got Danny Green that can hit the three, and he used to play for the Spurs, which is my favorite team. So he can hit the three. He's a great defender. But my favorite guy to talk about on that team is Playoff Rondo. So when we get to this point of the season, we don't even call him by his regular name anymore. He's no longer Rajon Rondo. He is Playoff Rondo. And we're going to go over some numbers here. Now, granted, he's only played 4 games during the playoffs. So when I go over the regular season stats, you're going to see that, you know, he played 48 regular season games. And he's only played 4 in the playoffs, but these stats are pretty staggering. So in the playoffs, Rajon Rondo is at 12 points per game versus 7 in the regular season. He's got 2.3 steals per game versus 0.8 in the regular season. 7.5 assists versus 5. And in the playoffs, he's 75% from the free throw line versus 65% regular season. He's shooting the three ball at 41% versus 32% in the regular season. And his field goal percentage has gone up from 41% in the regular season to 54% in the playoffs. So when we talk about Playoff Rondo, make no mistake, he has already shown up. And he is playing for blood. So this is their X factor. And this is why I can't rank these two teams. That's why I call them 1A and 1B. Because we're going to have to probably flip a coin to see which one of these two teams is going to win. They're both about 2-1 currently with the odds makers. Obviously, they lost the defensive presence of Avery Bradley. You know, I think if they had him, they would have been a favorite to win the whole thing this year. But the only reason I'm picking the Clippers this year over the Lakers, it's very difficult to find a good reason. The Lakers are a little bit older. So you got LeBron, he's 35, Rondo's 34. Clippers are a deep team, and they're a little bit younger team. And so I think that might give them a little bit of an edge. But going over to the concerns for the Clippers, right now, Lou Williams is shooting 22% from the three-point line. Now, he was quarantined for the first 2 games in the bubble, and he did have those chicken wings from the strip club, so I think that might have hurt him a little bit. But he's obviously got to step up his game because he's only shooting 22% from three. I love their depth, and obviously I love their defense, which is the other reason why if I've got to make my pick right now, I'm going with the Clippers. They've got 2 stud two-way players in Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. Pat Beverly is absolutely a nightmare to play against. He's an absolute stud defender. And Pat Beverly is actually shooting 50% during the playoffs. So I like the Clippers as a team. I think they're a little bit more solid than the Lakers. Now, Montrezl Harrell, he didn't play in any of the initial restart games. And so my other concern for the Clippers would just be the lack of their playing time together, because they all haven't been gelled as a unit for the entire time that they've been in the bubble. But if they can develop this chemistry that they need in this next series, I think they're going to be prime to make a run at the NBA title. So those are my power rankings. You can tweet me at sportsbuffoons and let me know if you agree or disagree, or maybe you've got the teams in a little bit different order. But we definitely want to hear your thoughts on Clippers versus Lakers, because that's the one that is going to be a nail-biter. Moving on to more of a fun topic, and we all like to talk about the GOAT conversation, right? So we talk about Brady versus Mahomes, talk about Jordan versus LeBron. We're not going to do that today because I got to wait until I can get the clan in here with me before we can debate that. But I am going to give you my NBA hierarchy, all-time players, and I'm going to go in order starting with number one. And I want to know what you guys think about this list. And obviously tweet us at sportsbuffoons. Let me know your thoughts. We're going to start at the top. We all know who the GOAT is. It is MJ. I don't even have to say his name. And I'm going to make this a simple argument for you guys, because we make it so difficult. We throw so many stats and so many circumstances into the situation. We're not going to do that today. I'm going to keep it simple for you guys. So Michael Jordan's the GOAT, and what we're looking at is championships, right? Because the object is to win the game, quoting the great Herman Edwards. And so Michael Jordan has 6 championships, averaged 30.12 points per game, which is the highest points per game average in the history of basketball. So I'm not going to go too much further on Jordan. Number two, I've got Kareem. He also has 6 championships with 2 different teams. He averaged 24.6 points per game, and he also had the skyhook, which was about the most unstoppable move in NBA history. I mean, the guy just kept doing it over and over again. Nobody could ever stop it. He did have Magic on his team, but he also played forever and scored a ton of points. So I've got Kareem at number two. Number three, I'm going to give that spot to the late, great Kobe Bryant. He averaged 25 points per game, had 5 championships, and he also had a three-peat in there. So when we're talking about the all-time greats, we've got to discuss who has a three-peat and who doesn't, because that stuff matters. Like we talked about earlier when we were talking about the NFL and the Chiefs, very difficult to go back-to-back. Even more difficult to win 3 in a row. So Kobe had a three-peat in there. I'm putting him in the number three spot. Now, this is where it gets a little bit dicey on 4 through 7. You could put these guys in any order. I gave number four spot to Magic Johnson. He's got 5 championship rings. He actually won a back-to-back championship, and he averaged just under 20 points a game. Number five, I've got the greatest power forward of all time. That is Tim Duncan. He had 5 championships, but he didn't have any repeats. So that's why I have Magic slightly ahead of him. He only averaged 19 points a game, believe it or not. But he was an excellent passer, probably one of the best passers of all time when you're talking about the big men that we've seen. Sixth best player of all time, I have Shaquille O'Neal. So we're going right down the list. Shaq had 4 championships. He averaged just under 24 points per game and was an absolute monster. You know, we always talk about how much of a beast LeBron James is. Shaquille O'Neal was slightly even more of a physical freak, in my opinion, than LeBron James. So I've got Shaq at number 6. Number 7, here's another guy you could put a lot higher on this list, and that's Bill Russell. He had 11 championships, which is really unbelievable. I know it was a different game back then. But he averaged 15 points a game. And when we look at the definition of a superstar today, we don't think of a superstar as averaging 15 points a game. And so I've got him at number 7. He had 11 championships. He was an absolute beast. And he had 22 rebounds per game. which is just unbelievable. But even more impressive was the fact that he swatted 8 shots per game for his entire career, which to me is unbelievable. I don't think that you could ever have a player in today's game that would average 8 blocks. At number 8, I've got Wilt Chamberlain. Now, he only had 2 championships, but he was right there with MJ as far as points per game. Those guys were so close. Jordan was at 30.12. Wilt was at 30.07 points per game for their career. And so I've got Wilt at number 8, another guy that was just absolute dominant force in the NBA. Number 9, this is when I'm going to piss some people off. I've got the King, LeBron James, and he's at 27.07 points per game, which is awesome. My biggest issue with LeBron, and I personally think I've got him fairly high on the list because we could take this list down to the top 20, and definitely not a LeBron hater. I've always been a fan of his. But again, it goes back to winning the game, and when you go 3-6 in the finals, you've got some players throughout history that are better than LeBron James. And I could have flipped him out with the number 10 guy. Number 10, I've got Larry Bird. And the only reason I have LeBron ahead of Bird is because Bird only scored about 24 points per game, and he didn't have the longevity, had some injury problems, although he was a better shooter. But he was actually 3-2 in the finals, so at least he had a winning record in the finals. Again, 4-7 and really 8-10, those guys are interchangeable, but a couple of honorable mentions. I would put a shout out there to Kevin Durant. Now, he's only got 2 championships, which is why he didn't make my list of the top 10, but as we say, his cement is not dry yet. And then the other honorable mention I would throw in, Oscar Robertson, who averaged a triple-double and was an absolute beast back in his day. And so that is my top 10 all-time NBA list. Let me know your thoughts. Again, I'm not trying to have any recency bias, okay? I know that we all tend to be biased towards the players that of today that we can watch with our own eyes. But I'm just trying to go with the facts here, and we can pour a lot more stats into this later when we go over this with the crew. All right, guys, I am out for the day. Make sure you tweet us at Sports Buffoons, and I will see you guys next time.